In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review. That is the special feature that we do once every five programs. The Rock Cliff Review is the bulletin passed out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, and it has different things about news and events coming up and some personal information about some in our family that may be in special need of our prayers for some reason. And we always have in the Rock Cliff Review the Bible way to be saved. And we list these six things. Hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe, John 3:16. Repent, Acts 3:19. Confess Jesus, Romans 10:10. Be baptized, Acts 10:48. And remain faithful, Revelation 2:10. If we could remember those six things, to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then to live faithful unto Jehovah, then by God's grace, heaven will be ours. Now, in the Rock Cliff Review, there is usually an article that has to do with a sermon that I was going to preach that morning. And this particular morning, I was going to preach on the topic, how to maintain strong and faithful leadership in the church. Let me read that to you now. There is a terrible failure in Judges 2:7-10. The people that served the Lord all the days of Joshua, but when that generation passed, the one that followed knew not what the Lord had done for them. I have tended to blame this on Joshua's generation, but the fault may lie more in the generation that followed. The knowledge of the Lord must not only be given, it must also be received. George Jones used to sing a song about country music singers. Who's going to fill their shoes? The song struck an emotional chord. We see it in almost every endeavor in life. The leaders we have depended on grow old and die, and we wonder what will happen now. I suppose some wondered about this when Moses did not return from Mount Nebo, when Joshua stepped off the stage, and when Samuel turned things over to the kings. Someone probably asked, what are we going to do now? Who's going to be king after David? Hezekiah has died, and Josiah has been killed. We'll no longer hear the voices of Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Daniel. What are we going to do? James has been beheaded. We've lost track of Peter. The last we heard from Paul, he was ready to be offered. And John is so old. How will we get along without them? Who is going to fill their shoes? The Bible student will know that I just covered a period of about 1,600 years. When the people of God were willing, God raised up rulers to take the place of those who had passed. God will take care of His church. If we are willing, God can use us to facilitate His care. Below are five practical suggestions for maintaining strong and faithful leadership that are rooted in Scripture. Number one, preachers and teachers, preach it and teach it. Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus to teach the things that become sound doctrine, to engage in godly edifying, which is in faith, and to commit the same to faithful men, Titus 2:1, 1 Timothy 1:4, and 2 Timothy 2:2. With these instructions, he taught them about elders and deacons, 1 Timothy 3, and Titus 1. Number two, elders and deacons, model it. We learn by watching. We see your strong, faithful leadership. Hebrews 13:7 tells us to follow your faith and to consider the end of your conversation. Number three, the rest of us, honor it. Hebrews 13:7 tells us to remember our leaders. Hebrews 13:17 tells us to obey them and submit to them. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13 tells us to know them and to esteem them highly for their work's sake. This will help our leaders to be strong and faithful, and others will see and learn the honor we have for them. Number 4, parents, prepare yourselves. Timothy was taught by his mother and grandmother, 1 Timothy 1:5 and 3:15, and fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. The church is the family of God, and God did not seek for his family business leaders, military leaders, or political leaders. God wants family leaders. God calls for men who have proven themselves in their homes. And number 5, young people, lead now. You're not ready for positional leadership, but you can already provide the church personal leadership. Personal leadership is often the most effective kind of leadership. Evidence of this is the mighty influence of both godly men and godly women in the church who have no official position. In 1 Timothy 4:12 we read, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." That is the leadership you can provide now. When it comes to effective personal and positional leadership, we ask, who's going to fill their shoes? Young people, you are going to fill their shoes, and we need you to start now. Now that was the reading from the Rockcliffe Review that day. I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson called Moses Honored in His Death. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. And he said unto them, "Set your heart unto all the words which I testify you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, even all the words of this law, for it is no vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it." Moses said to the people, "Set your heart into all the words which I command you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, even all the words of this law." Two very important things were enjoined. First of all, God's commandments should be pressed upon the hearts, and they should remember to do them. Second, they should diligently teach their children to do the same. At different times, in making these farewell speeches, Moses impressed these solemn duties upon the people. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, we read, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear Jehovah thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily as Jehovah the God of thy fathers hath promised unto thee, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house, and upon thy gates. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 47, Moses wrote and told them, "It is no vain thing for you. They could not fear God and keep his commandments in vain, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the lands whither you go over Jordan to possess it." We have seen that God frequently promises abundant temporal blessings upon the condition that the people would faithfully obey him. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 8 through 10, we read, "And thou shalt return and obey the voice of Jehovah, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And Jehovah thy God will make thee plenteous in the work of thy hand, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground for good. For Jehovah will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt obey the voice of Jehovah thy God, and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if thou turned to Jehovah thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul." Now we read back in Deuteronomy 32, verses 48 through 52. "And Jehovah spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up unto this mountain, unto Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel for possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered to thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because ye transgressed against me in the midst of the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah of Kadesh and the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. For thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give to the children of Israel." An account of Aaron's death and the reasons for it are given in Numbers 20, verses 22 through 29. God said to Moses, "Get thee up to the mount of Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel for a possession, and die there in the mount." You see, there was a time when Moses and Aaron had sinned against God. If you remember the first time they wanted water, God told Moses to strike the rock, and Moses struck, and waters came forth. But the second time, God told Moses to speak to the rock, and yet Moses said to the children of Israel, "Shall I give thee water?" And instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock. It was as though Moses was receiving the glory for himself instead of giving it unto Jehovah. And for this sin, God told Moses he would not go into the land of Canaan. You know, God sometimes changes his laws between the old law and the new law. He did. Under the old law, he said to worship him striking the harp. But under the new law, he said to sing with the heart, speaking to yourselves psalms and spirit songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Striking or speaking? When Moses was told to strike, he stroke. When he's told to speak, he stroke, and it was wrong. Now God tells us to solo with the heart. It'd be wrong to do it with the harp.